Hello, America. It's your new favourite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Joel Blank not in today. I'm Cody Stutes in for him. That's Barry Laminack. That's Nick Sciarra. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. The HRMP listener line is, as always, 713-780-3776 if you want to call. That's also the number that you can text as well.
That's right. Get them in. A couple of texts, speaking of. This is Demetrius. Oh, my God, I almost choked on my banana, which, hey, now.
He'd be healthy. A euphemism? Healthy.
Yeah, he said, I almost choked on my banana. I was laughing so hard when Cody said he wasn't wearing a shirt during the interview. That was pretty
cool. Who's rocking a shirt
at home?
It's like 2 o'clock in the morning when you're on the computer.
I mean, I do if my wife's up because I don't want to have to, you know, I don't want her to have to look at this and be disgusted.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you don't want her to, like, look at it and, like, get in the mood.
No, it's the opposite. I try not to ruin her appetite, so I try to be fully clothed most of the time at the house.
She woke up hungry. She saw you, just went back to sleep.
Yeah, she was like, ugh. Like the cat just threw up and went back to bed, so. Somebody said, when you drop the box of Frosted Flakes and step on a bunch of them, does that make you a serial killer? I just want you both to know I'm blocking this person just because of that text.
As you
It wasn't
should.
Even mean. They're just being blocked for that horrible, horrible text. I would rather you text mean things about us than something like that.
Yeah.
Hey, Barry, did Nick isolate the pole dancer's laugh? That was priceless. I don't know what pole dancer's laugh.
And I didn't isolate it, so I don't know.
I don't remember what it was. Now I got to go back and listen.
What's this guy need? Help getting there?
Is that what you're finishing through now, sir? A pole dancer's laugh? I like it, Cody.
She was on the video. Like, you missed out. You didn't have to listen to just the audio.
People were like, was she hot? We have a video stream. Go to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Go see the show.
How did you not? I mean, that's your bad. If you didn't go to the video stream, that's your bad. Although, we usually take pictures with guests. Why did we not do that?
I did. Oh, no. At the end of the segment. Yeah. We didn't. Yeah.
We usually do it, but we have like the ESPN banner and.
Oh,
well.
Cyril is ready to get out of here.
I do have a picture of them in studio, like a screenshot, if they want to, you know.
Oh.
Well, send it to that texter. He may need it.
Tweet it out.
I'll let you guys tweet it out. I'll send it to you, and then y'all can tweet it out.
Okay. That would probably make more sense. You might just look creepy.
I'm not in there. I'm not even in the picture, you know? So I'll just give it to you.
Oh, so you're just embarrassed that we're your friends?
I'll tweet it out.
Some people are into that voyeur stuff.
Yeah, right? So that's what you were doing. You're just over there taking pictures?
Throughthewindow.com, you know? Something like that.
Is that a thing?
I don't know. I don't want to
Google it. I'm now going to look it up. Throughthewindow.com.
Is it up for sale?
There's nothing there. It just is blank.
Oh, really? Somebody
That's
bought it,
creepy, though, yeah. That somebody bought that. Wow.
Yeah.
Because, normally it would just say that it didn't exist, but somebody bought that. There's just
like
nothing there.
Would you like to buy this from whatever the...
For $100?
Yeah, the link people are, whatever, the registration of the website people. I don't know what they're called.
Yeah.
I don't know what website you go to.
Domain.
Domain. Yeah, domain registration.
Yeah, domain registrars. People. That's what it is. That's what
Guys.
It is.
Yeah.
So you had a basketball thing.
So Rockets last night, they lose.
Yes.
Yeah.
121-93 to the Sixers.
I mean.
Wasn't close. It never was close.
Couldn't even cover 14 and a half.
Yeah. Is that what you were looking for?
Somebody had him in a teaser.
Over.
Cover 14 and a half.
A little angry.
A little pissed.
Okay.
All right. A little upset about that.
I feel that. I don't know why you would be doing that.
Yeah.
Why you would... Well...
Jimmy Butler goes out. I felt great about it. Jimmy Butler gets announced out, and my guy's a little slow on updating the numbers.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, ooh, time to take advantage. Throw me a little teaser with the Celtics and the Warriors.
Okay.
So the Celtics were playing like the Hawks, and the Warriors were playing the Lakers.
Yeah.
It's like, so I got Celtics to win, Warriors minus four, and Rockets plus 14.5. And
Warriors minus four was great.
I lost the teaser.
Damn.
Yeah, because...
Thanks, Rockets.
Because Joel Embiid smoked James Harden a couple times.
They had a block party.
Where does that punk TJ McConnell get off getting into it with Harden? You need to be this tall and an MVP candidate to get into Harden's
to
face.
To ride that ride?
Yeah.
he was their version of like Pat Beverly. He was the white Pat Beverly for the Sixers last night. Just
I guess.
Getting in, he was Pat Beverly and Harden was Russell Westbrook, and it was just him being a pest. And I mean, he had 12 points. He was a plus 10 on the floor. But his main job, along with Corey Brewer, was just to get out there and piss off James Harden. That was their job. Just to get into his head, get under his skin, and it worked. He got the tee. He got hit with a foul, stupid foul after Corey Brewer got a dunk. It worked well. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. Do teams take advantage of that going forward now that they know you can get under his skin a little bit?
Maybe. Kenneth Faried looked like a guy who'd been playing for a crappy basketball team for a while and then got on a good team, was like, let me get these buckets.
I'm shooting everything. So let me get this straight. He's like interviewing with him. You're just saying just shoot the ball.
Yeah.
Like, anytime I want.
Dunks and threes? I don't take a lot of threes, but I like to dunk.
I can shoot the ball whenever. Okay, it's on. Yeah.
See how excited he was. He dunks it, slams his hand on the backboard. It's like, what? Like, well, what are you doing?
You can't do that.
Stupid.
I did though. I'll say this, and Nick can attest to it. When we talked about losing Capella, one of the things that I thought was that high screen and roll, that high pick and roll, the pick and roll in general was going to be an issue for this team and really limit them, what they can do offensively. And I think Faried, you saw a glimpse of it last night. They ran one, but I think as he gets more acclimated into this offense, that might be something that they can go back to at least kind of get back to some semblance of the offense they ran with Capella.
Yeah, I definitely like the addition. Like, you can see where it's going to work. Like there's like, you can see where when this thing he practices and gets used to everything, like, it's going to pay attention and work. And,
yeah,
you know, it's going to be a net positive for them. That's a nice pickup. And look, after botching the offseason, Daryl Morey's done a decent job finding a piece here and there that's a really nice piece. Like, Rivers is a nice piece.
Right.
Faried's a nice piece. Like, he's done a good job after botching it in the offseason, picking himself back up.
Finally got rid of Carmelo Anthony. That's become official.
The long local nightmare is over.
Yeah.
See ya. They had to pay their Bulls to take them off their hands.
Yeah.
Which is, that shows you just how botched it was, that you couldn't even get anything for him.
It was bad. It was bad. And you're right, though. He has some semblance of recovery with Rivers and the fact that Rivers is starting. Even with Eric Gordon back, they're still running three guards out there. At least to start with. And Faried, I think it reminds me a little bit of a Montrezl Harrell, which we talked about at one point when the season started. But boy, wouldn't it be nice to have a guy like that, since you don't have a Trevor Ariza, you don't have a Luka Mbamute, a guy that gives you some energy off the bench, a guy that's going to do some rebounding because they're terrible defensively when it comes to rebounding. So I like the addition, and hopefully until Capella gets back, he can fill that void of kind of a spark and offensively running some pick and roll and giving Harden another option. Nick, you a fan of the deal for Faried?
I think for right now, yeah. I think right now, if you can look at what he's been able to do, there's some potential there. Now he just has to be acclimated, like you said, and I think he can. I think he'll be able to catch that, and I think he'll be able to work. I mean, you're going to have to go with some sort of replacement with the absence of Clint Capella.
Yeah, because Nene can't play every night.
No, he can't, and he's always capped on minutes, and you see that. So
8 minutes Nene played last night. Eight minutes.
Just Nene and Faried, just be friends the next few weeks. Nene teach Faried everything that you usually do, and then Faried will do that. And then you just do that a little bit better, a little bit more athletic. But 121-93 Rockets lose, that's not basketball nihilism for me. That's not where it popped up.
Okay.
It was last night when the Warriors did what they did. Now, I get bad Lakers team, all that jazz. Like, it's
Brandon Ingram got inserted as the point guard.
Yeah, like Ingram.
Rondo, no
Lonzo, no LeBron, all that stuff. But that squad, I thought the Boogie thing was going to be overrated. No. You know what they do a lot with Boogie? Is Boogie just bodies somebody, grabs a rebound, and then the big men go up the floor, and Boogie's like, oh, okay, I'll bring it up. And then that just opens up there. Then it happens. Curry and Thompson are just running all over the court. And it's like, oh, open look. Oh, open look. Klay Thompson had like 12 points in like 90 seconds last night coming out of the third.
Made his first 10 threes in a row.
Because Boogie's grabbing rebounds, brings it up. The offense starts happening. Like, he adds a total different dimension that I didn't even think was possible. And he's still working back into shape and working back into, like, the working into the rotation. And then you got Thompson's going off. At one point, it looked like the freaking Globetrotters versus the Generals. Yeah. Like, the ball was flying all over the place, and Curry was, like, missing dunks and airballing threes, and then Thompson's making everything. Like, dude, like, nothing matters in the Western Conference. They're gonna just beat the snot out of everybody.
Well, you felt like after the first two quarters, you were like, oh, this is actually pretty impressive that the Lakers are kind of hanging in there. I mean, it wasn't a blowout by halftime. They were kind of in it. I mean, they lost the first quarter by five. They lost the second quarter by five. You're down by 10 going into the half. In basketball, that's nothing, especially with the three-point shot being what it is today. And then the third quarter happened.
The most impressive part about the Warriors' victory there, they had three nights off in L.A. before this game. Not only did they beat the Lakers, they beat L.A. nightlife.
Yeah, they did.
They beat L.A. nightlife.
Yeah, they did.
And they looked that good doing it. That's scary.
When you see them, you know, when they start a game and they put up all the starters.
It's the Monstars.
You just look at that Green, Durant, Cousins, Curry, Thompson, and you just shake your head and go, that's not even fair.
It's the Monstars, and everybody else is the Toon Squad. And Michael Jordan ain't walking out.
Nice.
He's Barry Laminack. That's Nick Sherrar. I'm Cody Stutz in for Joel Blank today on The Usual Suspects. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sherrara.
Barry's here, Nick's here, I'm Cody Stutz in for Joel Blank today on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, at ESPN 97.5 on Twitter, at Barry is funny, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Joel's not here today though, so you can follow me, if you already follow him, at Cody _ Stutz.
The amount of questions on Twitter and the text line that I have received asking me if the pole dancer was hot is ridiculous.
You people, there's a video stream. She was sitting right here next to me. She smelled wonderful.
Wow. That was too far.
If they're asking if she's hot and the one guy wanted to hear her laugh, they wanted to know how she smelled.
How she smelled? What does she smell like? The circus. Like, what do you want? What do you want from me? I don't know.
Let's be honest.
I didn't smell her.
She wasn't just circus hot. She was hot.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. Yeah, I would say that. Yeah, because I think you're right. It's like there's MMA hot for chicks. Like Ronda Rousey is MMA hot in the street. She's like a 7 in MMA. And she's like a 4 in the streets. That may be. Am I wrong?
She can beat me up. So I ain't saying that. I'm not agreeing with that.
I'm in the streets. First. I mean, I would go like higher on the MMA scale and a little bit higher on the street scale. You go
so 8.5,
something like that.
I mean, think she's a little one.
No, not five, like eight. Like I'd give her like a 6 or 7 on the street, and then MMA hot because that's a different level.
See, it's fascinating. She's MMA like hot, like real high up, and then now she's doing WWE. She's way far down.
Really,
she's way back down again.
Yeah, I don't even watch her.
Some of those gals at WWE were just
not hot.
It's ridiculous.
Really.
Just she better be able to beat them up because she not out looking them.
Is that out looking
them?
Them?
She's not out hotting them. That's for damn sure.
Somebody said, "Hey Barry, love the show. I'm your number one fan, Angel. When is the dates of the circus again, Barry?" I believe it is through February 24th.
Yes, at Sam Houston Race Park.
Barry's not going to be pole dancing. You're saying you're the number. Like you're not performing.
I mean, I'll pole dance if the money's right. Look. I had daddy issues growing up. I'll do it. I don't give a damn. Okay?
You're trying to pay for law school.
Yeah, you're damn right. I'm trying to put myself through nursing school. Which I had this theory that you always hear that, right? Like you always hear about strippers working their way through med school or law school.
Uh-huh.
Which would lead you to believe that there would be a lot more hot doctors, nurses, and lawyers than there really are. So the question becomes, do they drop out or are they lying? Because there's not that many stripper hot nurses and doctors in the world.
I was told by a erotic entrepreneur one time.
Hey, hold on. What?
That's what they like to call themselves sometimes.
An erotic entrepreneur.
Yeah, because they're contract labor. So they're an entrepreneur. Erotic entrepreneur.
Makes sense. Their own business. Makes sense.
That is... Oh, I'm a subcontractor. That's hilarious.
I was told by an erotic entrepreneur one time that most of the girls mm-hmm. either dance to do dope or do dope to dance.
Oh, wow.
Now, that's not all, and that's not every, but that's most. And that was from someone who'd been in the business for a while.
Okay.
And so I'm guessing that gets them.
Now, was she in law school, med school, or dancing for dope or dope dancing?
This girl wasn't lying. She's like, I'm going to pay for
it. I just love Jesus. I got a car note. And
this girl was like, I'm just trying to pay for undergrad. Forget law school, medical school.
I'm trying to get through Lone Star.
I'm trying to get my associates and then get my bachelor's. Like,
I'm in community college over here stripping. Are you kidding me? That's how you know, like, the ugly chicks, they're not in law school. They don't make law school money. They're the hot ones get money when it's the clothes on dance. That's law school money if you can get tips with the clothes on. If you're only getting tips at, like, 2 a.m. when everybody's drunk, yeah, it's community college money. So, I don't know. I don't know what she was. I won't even judge. How about that?
Yeah, you don't want to go when they got the University of Phoenix gals out there.
Online degrees. I wonder. Oh, that's a good question. If strippers are paying for college, I wonder if cam girls are paying for University of Phoenix. Because it's all online. That would totally make sense.
Oh, there you go.
Speaking of that, by the way.
Paying for stuff?
Yeah, paying for porn and cam girls and everything. I saw this story. Somebody tweeted it to us, and I want to give them credit for sending us this story because it infuriated me. Willie Will on Twitter sent it to you, Nick, and me. And I don't know why y'all didn't send it to Cody. Give him your Twitter again, Cody.
@Cody_Stoots. It's CODY_STOOTS.
Got to include him. Anyways, the title says, Lawmaker proposes porn tax to fund border wall.
Who do we need to vote out?
Now, look, I was out on porn tax, but then if we're going to use it to fund the border wall, I'm double out. I'm out on this. And yeah, that's the first thing. Who's getting voted out? Because I feel like if you tried to vote for this and make this a thing, surprise, it's a female politician, first of all.
Okay. Have you seen what she looks like yet?
About 107. About rounding down.
She looks like the Murder, She Wrote lady.
She's trying to kill porn. That's what she's trying to do. It says that, so this is what it says. An Arizona lawmaker has a unique idea to raise funds for the border wall. Arizona Senator Gail Griffin has proposed a bill that would tax anyone viewing porn on an electronic device in the state. The bill suggests using blocking software to prevent all porn websites from being accessed until the user is confirmed to be an adult and a fee of at least $20 is paid. Then it says those in violation, including anyone who deactivates the blocker, would face a misdemeanor charge.
Oh, my goodness.
What? Now we're giving out charges? And it says border security is ranked as the first program on the list, and that's in Arizona. And no, BS. No, hey, no.
Well,
no.
I'm officially quitting porn. I'm not doing that.
You can tax my porn when you pry it from my cold, dead hand.
That's
and by
dumb.
It, I meant.
And you know what?
meant my penis. give him my cold, dead hand. You're not taxing my porn. That's not happening.
And you know what? Somebody's laughing. They're saying, oh, who still pays for it? A lot of people. How do you think the new page on the front page of the site you go to for free, how do you think the new stuff comes out? People still pay for it.
Exactly. There's somebody out there. People are still paying for porn on the regular.
And I have to imagine Arizona's like high pay for it.
There's a Pornhub stats. I need to look up during the break what the Arizona stats are for Pornhub. Like, what's the? I feel like
what are they like?
Latina, the Latina section.
The categories are pretty.
And college girls, because Arizona State, they're known for hot chicks. I feel like those would be the two things. Is cactus porn a thing? I doubt that. I don't think cactus porn would be a thing.
That's weird.
That would be kind of awkward. That'd just be under bondage, like just get beat with a cactus.
Oh my God.
You gotta give out your safe word. Pineapple, it hurts. Pineapple, stop. Yeah. I'm gonna try to find the Pornhub stats site, but, I have a feeling this is not going to happen.
Yeah.
Half of the politicians, half of the Republicans are all up on the porn.
There's a lot of Republicans that are probably like behind closed doors. Did you see what Gail did? Is she serious with this?
Is she out of her damn mind? Have you seen my wife? I have to have porn. Are you out your mind, Gail? You're off the committee. You're out of this. Oh, get off the committee.
Gail's off a lot of committees.
Yeah.
There's a lot of parties that she can't get invited to anymore. Okay. There's a lot of donations that are going to get asked for their money back. Like,
oh, they
hey,
have a
lady, we helped you get elected. I'm going to need you to send it back.
All that money's coming back. She's like, I was joking. I thought we wanted the wall. No, we want you to stay out of our damn porn, Gail.
We want a wall. Not that bad.
Yeah. Damn that. Speaking of taking jobs,
$20, and you know this isn't a one-time fee either. You know that's probably like a monthly fee.
Yeah, that's what they would turn into. It's like the toll roads. Oh, once we get the wall built, we won't be taxing you anymore. Oh, BS.
Yeah,
toll roads are supposed to be free.
Yeah, yeah. How you paying for the upkeep of the wall?
Exactly.
More porn tax.
Okay, I'm on the Pornhub Insights website. I have the 2018 year in review. We shall investigate.
Okay. He's Barry Laminack. That's Nick Schroer. I'm Cody Stutz for Joel Blank on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 975.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 975.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I got to make sure I don't screw this up. Is 90 in the rear view and 90s through the front?
Oh, my
windshield
God.
View?
Fail.
Thing?
Nope.
Not
fail.
That's why they have Joel
do
it.
Yep,
usually.
That was not good at all.
Well,
90 in the books, 90 still to go.
Ah,
plenty more of the big show.
Gotcha. Yeah. They don't give you notes on these things. They just expect you to listen and know.
Yeah, well, you know, you should always be listening.
I always do.
Okay, well then I can't believe you don't know that. I bet if we polled the listeners, 75% of them could do it. No problem.
Okay.
You know why? Because they're listening. They're not just hearing us. They're listening.
I'm kind of a passive listener sometimes.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay. Take it. You have a meter? That would help. No? Damn it. We need to get you a meter. Wouldn't it be great if we had meters while we were doing the show?
Yeah.
How dope would that be? Just sitting here with a meter just registering.
Oh, some of these are just for us, folks.
Yeah, sorry. Antiquated-ass system. Did I say that out loud? That's my bad.
Hey-o. You know what else was antiquated and is not happening anymore? Bob Sutton, the Chiefs defensive coordinator.
Mm.
The 70-million-year-old Bob Sutton has been relieved of his duties after Andy Reid earlier this week was like, hey, is Bob Sutton coming back? No comment. Like, oh, so he's fired?
Yeah, no comment. It might as well be like, no.
Yeah.
You had us at no. You didn't need the comment. You could have just said no. Yeah, I mean, no worse defense really in the NFL.
So they were – the tough part about reconciling what the Chiefs were, and it's what some NFL teams just end up being because they don't have the total talent or they don't have the total ability with their staff to coach it up, is – they were good at some things, but overall they were like not that great. Like they were really nice at home, but they failed on like third down conversions and like they had issues in the red zone sometimes. And it's that's how you win in like that's what you do to win in big games is third downs, red zone. You know why the Patriots kill everybody in big games? Because they don't jack up on third down and they don't jack up in the red zone. And that's just what happens to teams a lot of times when they get to that level. Look, they had one hell of a defensive line. Like,
yeah,
that thing showed out. 52 sacks led. But you know what they didn't do in the championship game? Get after Tom Brady. Like,
well, you know, you always hear of bend but don't break defenses. And there's almost the opposite of that, where you can get sexy numbers like big sacks and, you know, like they were really good in the turnover ratio, too, and give some credit to their offense and to Patrick Mahomes for not turning it over.
Right.
But you got to be on the plus side, you got to get some. And they were up there in turnover ratio and the plus minus ratio. But it's one of those things where it's almost the opposite of bend but don't break. You can get those sexy numbers like turnovers and sacks, but if you're giving up, if you're top five, top ten in points allowed and yards allowed, and your offense is so quick to score that your defense is always on the field, and it's a mixture of things. But at the end of the day, it was a bad defense.
And it's people are antiquated now. Like there are coaches that are antiquated in the National Football League that are just going to start getting phased out. And I get that Bob Sutton's been around and he's seen a lot of it. But Bob Sutton has seen a lot of what they used to do in the NFL, like the McVays and the ever-evolving Patriots and, you know, like the Kyle Shanahans when he doesn't have a quarterback whose leg blew up and stuff like that. Like, the future of where this is going, like, you're going to have defensive guys evolve, too. Like, there's so many questions about if you have, like, a defensive-minded head coach, like, can they get it done? Do they understand offense enough? Like, obviously, Andy Reid understands offense and takes care of everything, but he likes to hand it over to a guy on defense that can handle it, and Sutton can't handle it. You blow it in the big game. You know, your defense isn't good enough in the big game. You can't close it out at home. Okay, well, let's try something different. Let's go for a young guy. Sucks for him, though, because for the past couple years, like, there hasn't been a lot of reinforcements coming in.
No.
Because they spent the draft pick on Mahomes. That's an offensive weapon that they didn't even use for the first year, with the exception of week 17. And then they didn't have a first this year, which probably would have been a defender.
Yeah,
they spent money in free agency on Sammy Watkins, not a big defender. Eric Berry's hurt all year.
Yep.
And so it's like, hey, your hand's been tied behind your back, but you still didn't do a good enough job, so you're fired.
Yeah, and they won a lot of games, but defensively, I mean, again, you knew that the Chiefs were going to have to outscore people.
I wasn't scared of the Kansas City defense because I knew in a key moment, if I'm a team in the NFL, I knew in a key moment I could move the ball on them. I know they might move the ball on me too,
right?
But I know I could move the ball on them. And look, it's not like some of those throws Brady made, like the Brady Gronk sideline throw. Brady's the only, like, one of the only dudes making that.
Exactly.
Like, there's not a lot of dudes that are making that right now. But, like, you know, Gronk on a slant, Edelman on a crossing route, like, some of those throws a lot of guys can make. Like, it's not like they had to, like, totally scheme their ass off to beat the Chiefs on defense.
Right.
They did.
Now, do you think that in some ways it was, I mean, obviously as bad as they looked at times, do you think, though, I mentioned it a bit ago, do you think some of it was because the offense was so prolific that they could go down and score four plays, 70-yard drive, touchdown. They could score quickly. So your defense is on the field by default a lot.
Oh, you saw it. You saw it there in overtime. Those guys were sucking wind.
Yeah.
But I'm talking
about throughout the year.
By the way, that happens to every defense. Like, every defense is tired at the end of games. For whatever reason, those offensive guys that run all those plays, the Patriots ran 95 plays. Mm-hmm. Their offensive line looked like they could go for another 95.
Yeah.
The Chiefs' defensive line, gassed,
sucking
breathing
wind.
Hard. How many times have we seen JJ and Jadeveon Clowney with their hands on their hips, like just heaving, trying to get air into their lungs late in games? Like,
yeah.
It's just hard to go that often on the defensive line. And like, there's just not enough depth, and coaches just don't take into account, like, holy crap, my guys just need an extra 60 seconds. Like,
yeah.
Andy Reid had all those timeouts in overtime. None of them came off the board. And the Patriots handed to Rex Burkhead, who got stuffed earlier, and then just touchdown. It's like, you know, it's rough being a defensive coach.
It does, especially in today's environment where your offenses are more prolific for the most part. They're more open there. They get down the nobody. There's fewer teams that are grinding it out in the run game. Hi, Texans. There's fewer of those teams that exist. The Texans being one of them. But the Chiefs, they want to score. They want to score quickly. And like defensively, I was looking at it because I wanted to see time of possession. Believe it or not, Chiefs were sixth in the NFL in time of possession. So they actually had the ball quite a bit, but it's probably because they were getting shootouts, which would give them the time more. Total plays, though, from scrimmage, from a defensive perspective, second in the NFL. 1,109 plays from scrimmage. That was second only to the Browns. So the defense was on the field a lot. The defense, so you could see where some of the numbers would be elevated, but maybe that's why they also had 52 sacks, because you have more opportunities to be on the field, but you have more opportunities to give up points and look bad and see your deficiencies.
And that's the way, and this is a big problem that I have sort of with the Texans and the way they're built on defense. They're built to get a lead, force you to pass the ball, and then just tee off on you. Yeah. And that's the way the Chiefs were built. On defense, or that's the way they turned into playing defense. Get a lead and tee off on you. Well, when you play a close game, like, that goes out the window. Because the other, like, Brady still had Burkhead and White and Sony Michel at his disposal the whole game. Mm-hmm. If you get up 14, you know, 21 points at one point, the other team's running backs are not at their disposal anymore. Like, that goes out the window, and the game's got to speed up. They're throwing more. That means your guys are pass rushing more. But New England is going to play close games in the playoffs, so they're always going to have the ability to run the ball. So you're not going to get to tee off on Tom Brady. You're not going to get to attack their offensive line. And you know, if you can't scheme it to win in those critical situations, then you're going to get left in the dust. Offenses are going to beat you.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that, like you said, too, secondary was an issue for the Chiefs more so than that front seven. I mean, with Houston and Jones and Ford up front, they were a little more stout than they were in that secondary. And I think once you get leads on teams, what are they going to do? They're going to pass more. And so your secondary is a vulnerability for you. Corners are deep, but, you know, that safety, even with Barry.
Barry's hurt.
Yeah, he still is struggling. I mean, you saw him just getting abused by Gronk. The other guy's white. That is outstanding analysis. But yeah, so you get, okay, now teams are behind on the Chiefs and they got to throw the ball. So again, the yardage. So it kind of, I feel kind of bad for him, but it, you know what? This is the era that you play in now. This is what you got to deal with.
Some dinosaur is going to be the offensive-minded head coach somewhere, and they're going to say, well, we need Bob Sutton on this staff. Yeah. Like, oh, why? Because he did so well defending modern-day offenses?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah, it's going to be weird because, I mean, being one of the, you know, bottom third defenses, the teams that are usually going to make a change and need a DC is going to be in that bottom third. So they're going to be like, well, we already had that guy.
Yeah. Evolve or die, coaches. Evolve or die, or get fired like Bob Sutton. I'm not rooting for him to die. He's only 67. Wait. So there's a lot left there.
Evolve or, like, you're like, you're just like, everybody's dying. Everybody. What's the old guy from the Steelers that jumped ship? Oh,
Dick LeBeau? Yes. He gone.
Line up. You're all dying.
That's Barry Lamniak. It's Nick Sherrar. I'm Cody Stutz in for Joel Blank today. On the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Need a new restaurant to go to? Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news.
I hope you're hungry.
From Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. Hi, Reggie. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sherrara.
At Barry is funny on Twitter. At the producer Nick on Twitter. At Pac-Man Joel when he's here on Twitter. That's Pac-Man Joel with a K. I'm at Cody_Stutz in for Joel today.
So. Yeah, somebody said now that they have your Twitter, everyone should send you there before weight loss pictures. I agree with that.
That's what I told them to do to you.
Yeah. Why are you?
To both. Send it to Barry is funny and at Cody_Stutz.
And just, you might as well just go ahead and include.
And no, at the producer, Nick.
At the producer Nick. Just add him on there. He likes to see naked dudes.
Not true.
No?
False.
You don't want me to start that rumor.
Oh, you've already started that 2 years ago when the show first started.
Did I say you were gay 2 years ago?
I'm pretty sure you did.
No.
I'm pretty sure both you and Joel have said that multiple times on the show.
No, I would have saved that for later. I would have been like, all right, I'm going to slowly leak all these other things out.
First.
And then I'll
And then reveal that I'm gay. Yeah. Is that what you're talking
about?
Then
I'll hit them with it later.
That's, Okay.
That's how it goes.
So the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame will be announced. The new class will be announced today. I guess 5 o'clock our time. I remember I used to get so mad every year when they would announce it, it didn't have, like, the years Biggio had to wait or the years Bagwell had to wait. I would get so mad every year, like, just furious that they weren't in. Now I don't have that problem anymore. But the new one's going to come out tonight. Sportsmap.com has the, I guess, the staff, the ESPN 97.5 staff, their thoughts on who should be in, who should not. And thankfully, most everybody said steroid people, you know, allegedly thumbs up.
Yes. I had on my list Bonds and Clemens.
Good.
And my reason behind that, and I'm curious what your thoughts are, but my reason is Bonds was a five-tool player before steroids. Mm-hmm. He was a guy that could hit for power, he could hit for average, he could steal a bag, he could play defense, drive in runs, he could do everything before the steroid allegations came out. Clemens was the same way. Clemens was out there striking people out and throwing no-hitters and doing his thing. He was the next Nolan Ryan before the allegations of steroids really came into prominence. So for that reason, now, there are some guys that I would say no, like a Gary Sheffield. Gary Sheffield was good, but I wouldn't say he was Hall of Fame worthy. Sammy Sosa, good. Not so sure he has that magical season with Mark McGwire if he's just out there living life, you know, doing his normal thing. So some of those guys I'm a bit more hesitant on, but I felt like specifically with Bonds and Clemens that even if they never were accused or that was never a thing, they would still be in the hall.
So you took into effect a little bit if you thought they'd used or there were rumors and stuff like that.
No, I took into effect if I thought that they would they have still made the hall if they hadn't used.
Gotcha.
That was it. I didn't penalize you if you used, because obviously Clemens and Bonds, or if you were accused of using, I should say.
Where are you at on Manny Ramirez?
I had him in.
I think Manny was just
one of the most feared hitters in his era.
Incredible. And he obviously got caught late in his career.
Sure.
But to me, that always felt more like a trying to hold on
longevity thing,
as opposed to like I needed it when I was, because Man Ram was like, there were some years where he was pretty fat. Like, let's put it.
Yep.
Let's be real honest.
Right.
Like, and I'm not saying you can't be fat and still use steroids and get the benefits. Like, I understand that, but like, the likelihood that he's as fat as he was and as fat as he would get in the off season.
Yeah.
And like he'd have, I mean, you would see it. He'd work himself into shape. I put basically everybody in. I'd have voted for 30 of the dudes.
And here's the thing about the steroids. The steroid thing is, you know, you used it for recovery. You used it to be able to work out and get bigger. But you know what that's not going to help you with is hit for average. There are I think, two guys on this list of 35 people that were eligible. Of the hitters on that list, only two guys were ahead of Manny Ramirez in career average. And both of those guys played at Coors Field. So you can say all you want about power numbers if you so choose. Manny Ramirez was a dual threat. He could hit for average and he could hit for power.
Manny played in a whack park though for a long time. Like, he's out there hitting stuff that would be fly balls that are double off the wall.
But it's not Coors Field. It's not Coors Field.
That's true.
And when you hit for average, I mean, you hit for average. That's
true.
Yeah, I you know, Larry Walker, Todd Helton. Don't get me wrong. I think eventually those guys will get in, especially Helton. Larry Walker did it in Montreal when he was an expo, so I think he might get in, although his numbers seem to...
Had the nice playoff run with the Cardinals late in his career, so he had that element of it.
But only 383 home runs, and a lot of that production came while at Coors Field. Yeah. So I could see him not getting in, but again, hit 313. He was one of the two ahead of Manny Ramirez. I didn't have Billy Wagner in. And I know that would probably piss off a lot of Astros fans, but I think he will get in.
I hope so. I mean, people are just going automatic on Mariano, as they should.
Yeah. Oh, he was one. My other one. Yeah.
But like, look, Billy Wagner was pretty damn automatic too.
Yeah. Yeah, and for such a little dude to be able to hit 100 as often as he did, and there were a few guys in his era that when their intro music played and they walked through that bullpen door or that gate, you were like, well, this is probably over with. Yep. And he was one of them. It was Trevor Hoffman. It was him. It was Rivera. I mean, those were the few guys that you were like, oh, yeah, this is
for
this
a long deal. Time, too. Like, yeah. there's obviously guys that had the Comet theory where they were like really good for a few years, and then it was all like Eric Gagne is a perfect example. Like, okay, Gagne was coming in.
That is a good example.
It's over, but Gagne was the dude for like 3 years. Four years.
Right.
And then we found out that he was choosing the whole time.
Yeah. And why Rick Ankiel was on this list. I know it's his first year.
That's one of the most underrated parts of the
Juan
ballot.
Pierre. Get
it's
out
like
of here.
Watching like the names pop up that you're like, that guy's not even close. And it's like, oh,
Juan Pierre.
He's on the ballot.
Yeah. Juan Pierre, he of 18 home runs in his career. Now, I know he stole a lot of bases, but he's still like 600 plus.
Something like that.
Yeah. No, thanks.
Juan Pierre.
I'm out on Juan Pierre as a Hall of Famer.
There's probably so many of those like early Marlins players that like some kid watched baseball for like the first couple years and like the Marlins were good. And he was like, man, I love Juan Pierre. Like, and it's like, or I love, was it? Cliff Floyd was on that early Marlins
team. Now, Cliff
team.
Was decent with the Expos.
Yeah, Cliff was all right.
Sheffield was a beast. Now, Sheffield was intimidating. I loved to watch that dude bat just because of the way he would wag that bat, and he was intimidating. But also another guy that I think good, but benefited maybe from some enhancements.
Yeah, he was to my knowledge, he was
allegedly,
like,
whatever the hell
he was
I'm
like
supposed
the first cream accusation.
Oh, that's right.
Like everybody else was taking it like with pills and stuff like that. And he was like rubbing the steroid cream in or something.
Here's one or two that I'm not so sure about. And I'm curious where you are on Fred McGriff.
I'm out on the crime dog.
I'm with you. I mean, didn't even hit the 500, you know, home run club. Decent numbers, hit 284 for his career. But I just don't feel like if that's the measure, if that's the level you're going to get at, then you're kind of lowering the bar a little bit, especially playing first base. You should have better power numbers, I feel like, than what he was consistent. He would hit, you know, he would hit 20 and 280 every year, but that's just not, I don't feel like that's home run worthy. I mean, Hall of Fame worthy.
At some point, you've got to be able to be the best at something.
Right.
And like you go through, so if you go to Baseball Reference and like if they were the leader in a category in their career, it's bold. Like their number is bold.
Right.
McGriff has like 7 bolds in like 19 years playing.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not really like you led in one of them was games played.
Like, okay. Everybody played in 162. Yeah, bro. Yeah. Well, not everybody, but a lot of
like a lot of people played 140 games. You just played 144 that year. Like, congrats.
Yeah, exactly.
And like his home run number, like 36 and 35. Like, okay, you led in the 89 and 92. Congrats. Like,
yeah. See, I'm the same way for Edgar Martinez. And I know a lot of people want that dude to be in. And I know 1995 was a magical year. He was third in MVP and all that's great, and I think he ended up like top 5 in one more year as MVP when he drove in like 150 runs or something like that. Yeah. Crazy that number, and he could hit for average. He would hit, you know, 330, which is great, but your job is to hit. I'm still a little hesitant to put in a DH that isn't as you have to be more dominant than leading the league in RBIs once in your entire career.
And
leading in the league in home runs 0 times in your entire career.
Like, don't get me wrong. RBI is like a clutch stat at the same
time.
But it's also a teammate stat. Like, you got to get guys on base ahead of you.
Absolutely.
Like, your team's got to be pretty good, too. My thing with Edgar is I felt like, and this is the same theory with Helton and Walker, more so because like I get to see them a ton against the Astros. Like, if Edgar, Walker, Helton were up and they got on base, that was probably the start of a rally.
Yeah.
Or they were the guy that, like, the rally's getting ready to happen, and they come up, you're like, all right, this guy's definitely getting a hit here. Like, that's so sort of how I felt about those guys. Like, I don't think I ever feel, like.
So would you put Martinez in? Edgar Martinez?
Yeah, I put Edgar in.
Okay.
Yeah. Even though it's the, you know, the only hit type thing, you know.
Right.
That doesn't bother me. Baseball's more fun when people hit. It's like.
I love the DH. I feel like it should be in the National League.
Oh, thank you.
But I just don't know if his career as a DH.
Yeah.
That I would say,
up.
Yeah, had some good years, not Hall of Fame.
Barry Laminack, Nick Sherrar, I'm Cody Stutz in for Joel Blank here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Sports.
This is Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.